Good morning and welcome to day 23 of Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. And day 23 brings us to Genesis chapter 15. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. And we do use the ESV, the English Standard Version. And I use esvbible.org as the source of our on-screen text. Highly recommend the ESV translation, as well as the website esvbible.org. Today we're going to be at Genesis 15. And I mentioned to you yesterday, this was one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's a little bit of a joke at Forest Hill when I say it's my favorite passage, my favorite psalm, my favorite hymn, my favorite chapter. I always say one of my favorite because I don't say it's my favorite, and I have lots of them. So this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and I have lots of them. But let's pray, and then we'll dig into God's Word together. Heavenly Father, your word is rich and full of truth and goodness and beauty, and it is powerful. All of it, of course, is wonderful, Lord God. You've breathed it out for us so that you can teach us the truth and correct us where we're going astray and train us in how to walk in paths of righteousness by faith for your name's sake. So, Father, do that work in us today through Genesis 15. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half, and when birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell on him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. That's Genesis 15 in the ESV. Well, this is one of my favorite chapters. It's one of the great chapters in Scripture, really, for establishing some very important things for us. First of all, I believe this is the moment of Abraham's salvation. Many people commented earlier on some things that Abraham did in chapter 12 and the cowardice that he showed and the unbelief. I don't think Abram comes to salvation until this chapter. And the reason for that is verse 6. Verse 6 says, he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. God made the promise to him again that your offspring from your body shall be your heir. And then he took him outside and said, look at the stars, number the stars if you can. Again, this is out in a desert environment in the ancient Near East, in Israel, in the ancient world, when there's no air pollution, the stars would have been countless and full in the sky. And God said, if you can count them, then you'll be able to number your offspring. Your offspring will be as many as the stars in the sky. And I like to think sometimes when I look at a very, very starry sky at night, that one of those stars that Abraham saw was for me, because I am a child of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful promise. But Abraham believes God. He believes the promise of God, which is to believe in Christ, because the offspring that's going to come to bring all these promises to full fruition is, of course, Christ Jesus himself. And so I believe this is the moment of Abraham's salvation, his justification by faith. This is picked up in Romans chapter 4 as justification by faith, and Galatians as well. He believed God. He believed the promises of the Lord, which would ultimately come to fulfillment in Christ Jesus. So by believing in God's promises, he was believing in Christ, and that's how he came to salvation. If you want to know how Old Testament saints came to salvation, they came to salvation by believing in God, by faith alone, through by grace alone, through faith alone, we would say. And then God says, I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to keep my promises to you. I'm going to give you this land, the land to you and your offspring. And we talked already about how the land promise has been expanded in Christ to be the whole earth. But for here, Abram just wants to know, how am I going to know? What are you going to show me? Because this seems very hard to wrap my head around. I'm just one man and a household with no children, and you're telling me I'm going to have all this land? And God says, I'll show you. And God makes a covenant, and it's a covenant of grace. A covenant in the ancient world was made by cutting. To make a covenant in Hebrew means to cut a covenant. It's what the actual verb is, to cut a covenant. And this was a ceremony that would be made in the ancient Near East between kings. They would cut animals, they would put their halves on either side of what would then be a very bloody pathway. And if there was a greater king and a lesser king, and the greater king was swearing the lesser king to fealty, to loyalty, he would make the lesser king walk the pathway. Or if they were co-equal kings, they would walk the pathway together. And it was a self-imprecatory oath. Like when we were kids and we said, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. That's a self-imprecatory oath. It means I'm telling the truth, and if I'm lying, you can stick a needle in my eye. That's pretty terrible. I don't think anybody ever followed anybody up on that oath when we were kids. But here, the oath is, may what has been done to these animals be done to me if I fail to do my part in this covenant. And notice God puts Abraham to sleep, and God alone goes through. That's the smoking fire pot and the flaming torch. To the Israelites coming out of Egypt, who were given Genesis, wait a minute, a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. That's the Lord. The smoking fire pot, pillar of cloud, flaming torch, pillar of fire. That's the Lord. And so the Lord goes through these pieces and he affirms his promise. God is saying here to Abraham, I will keep my promise to bless you and your offspring and give them all that I've promised, and I will take the full weight of the penalty on myself. And ultimately, this covenant promise finds its fulfillment at the cross, because sin separates us from God, because sin keeps God from righteously fulfilling his promise to his people. He can't be just and also be one who blesses sinners, you know, idolaters, wayward people. And so he takes our sin away at the cross and gives us new hearts instead. And that is a promise that is made here. The blood of these severed animals that God walks through is a foreshadowing of the blood of the cross. And that's why it's one of my favorite chapters in Scripture. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Powerful, truthful, beautiful. Write it on our hearts and help us to live it today. To trust you and your promises more than what our eyes can see, more than what our reason would tell us, more than what our doubts would whisper. May we trust in you. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we'll be staying in Genesis. We'll be in Genesis chapter 16 for day 24 of walking with Jesus through the Word, one chapter at a time. I hope you're enjoying this journey. We still do have some journals. If you want a journal to go along with the readings, you can write down questions you have or observations or prayers. You can email the church, foresthillpca@gmail.com, foresthillpca@gmail.com, and we will be happy to send you a journal for you to be able to use alongside our reading plan. Have a blessed day in the Lord.